have a convener and his wife for the amazing, amazing work that God is doing through them. Yeah. In such a rich, great depth of teaching we've had tonight. Great word. And I've been blessed since the beginning of this meeting, really. Pastor Bearden just came. It's like God helped you to cut it short in righteousness when Pastor Tunji showed up here. But he left us with a word. The biblical definition of foolishness is lack of preparation. And I think he just delivered what God wanted him to deliver before the great word from Pastor Tunji, dissecting the kingdoms, the different layers of the kingdoms, and the fact that regardless of what is happening, the kingdom of heaven will spread and take over the whole earth. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for this great, great teaching. Last year, I was not here in person, but I tried to follow online. And I've been trying to reconcile this phase. I think it was the one. If I forgot anything last year, I didn't forget it because I was following online. And you quoted a man, I don't know who the person was. I guess you're the one who quoted him. Omo polokwa drao ginjuno. You don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer. How many times I've told God, your servant said, Omo polokwa dura kijuno. I wasn't here in person, but I was here in the spirit last year. And it's been such a blessing for what we had today. And honestly, all the bits and pieces from what we've had today, I summed up what I've had to say. And I don't know, it's just like repetition if I do anything. But since you said I must stand here, my spirit is subject to the prophet in the house. This is our prophet for this weekend. So I try to maybe take a few minutes and maybe try to reiterate some of the things we've had already. So get back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. At verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. He has read that scripture a couple of times. Pastor Tunji has read the same scripture because it's the part of the main text. But permit me to read that verse in the KJV and I just tried to lift up something there. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of demons. He's tried to dwell on that also. A good way to capture the last days is the Yoruba Proverbs. Pardon me if you don't speak Yoruba language, I'll try to paraphrase the meaning. A good way to capture the last days is what the Yoruba proverb says, Ogun asotele ki paro. And then they will add something to it. That for me sums up the last days. What does that mean? That an imminent war that is long announced does not affect a layman. It does not destroy a layman, provided that layman is wise. That for me sums up the issue of the last days. asotele ki paro. You know, a lame man, his legs are not equal. His movement is awkward. He does 0.01 kilometer per hour. So when they say a war is coming, there'll be a war in this city. So the lame man that will not be affected by that war will start his own journey. His journey of escape, long time. That's how I see those days. Is something imminent? As a matter of fact, from what we have had today, something ongoing. So, the negative side, like pastor asked us, which side are we going to be found in? The negative side of it can be avoided if we are wise, because the warning has been on for a very long time. That's how I see it. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. You have stressed the doctrines of demons. Let me stress a bit, seducing spirits. I'd like us to know. No, not know. I guess you already know. So I want you to be reminded. That spirits don't operate with our bodies. Spirits don't operate with our bodies. So, these seducing spirits are human beings. No, I'm not sure anybody is hearing what I'm saying. Spirits don't operate with our bodies. That's why when you cast out spirit from a person, you have brought his ministry to an end. Is the reason why the madman of Gadara, the demons inside him were begging Jesus, hey, please don't cast us away. Don't finish our ministry. Spirits don't operate without bodies. So these seducing spirits are human beings. Probably, not probably, most likely, men of considerable influence who command a large following. And he already said that. He said all of this. This seducing spirit will operate through men operating with Satan's anointing. Oh, you don't believe that Satan anoints people? Pastor Toji told us here. Some who want to be famous, who want to reign in the realm of music, go to the diabolical kingdom to be anointed for it. And all that, that's why the devil hunts for people of influence. People with following. People whose words are law. People who by the standard of the world have succeeded. Because they now become ambassadors of his kingdom. For when they speak, the world latches onto what they say, believing that he what they're saying is not right. Why will they be as blessed as they are? But I think he nailed us very well. Never to confuse blessings with approval. They ate the food, they drank the water, their shoes were not worn out, yet it was in place with them. Let me also say this when he says, the reason why men would depart from the faith is that they give it to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I also like to inform you that devils will not stand in the street corners. You won't see devils at the Rumola Junction. They will still operate through human beings. So human beings can be friendly and human beings can be very dangerous. That's why it is by their fruits we know them, not by their possession. You know them by their fruits, not by their possessions. And not by their proclamations. What are we trying to say? And so when you talk about seducing spirit, doctrines of devils, don't think you will see one day the devil appear and then he's teaching people in the street corner. No, 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 no. These things are going to be through human vessels. Let me read a couple of scriptures to help our understanding here. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Was John 2, verse 26. First John 2, 26. These things have I written unto you concerning the devils that seduce you. And I was just trying to see whether you are following. These things have I written concerning them. They are them. That seduce you. Concerning the people that seduce you. Revelation chapter 2 verse 20. This is the word to the church, one of the churches. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest thou woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And thou woman, go back to verse 20. Yes, that's just verse 20. I have this against you. You allow Jezebel, we call ourselves a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. She teaches and seduces. I'm still trying to explain seducing spirit, that these things don't expect a disembodied beings to be the one doing this job. They will be inside individuals, people, men and women of authority, people who have influence on others, and then they will be dishing out the rubbish. Sometimes in our ignorance, we sit in the congregation and clapping our hands. I attended a meeting a long time ago. It was a minister's meeting. And the person said that your father's enemy is your enemy. And then people clap. So when it was my turn, I picked the mic. I said, before you make your father's enemy your enemy, find out what your father did. And then they still clap. Because the thing has been reduced to a theater. We have been trained now to hunt for the sensationers. The seduction will happen through men. And let me just leave two categories here. I was teaching Bible school. I still do that for Paraka people tomorrow. If you don't see me early in the morning, just know I'm in the Bible school. Otherwise, I want to drink into all of these graces that are in the house. But I was saying this. I was teaching on hermeneutics and particularly. And I quoted a scripture from the book of Psalms where God was complaining. He said, every day they rest my word. You know what? Every day they twist my word. They said I said what I did not say. So I asked the people, how many times have you nearly gone fisticuff to fight somebody because they misrepresented what you said? They removed the context and then just landed the thing and put you in bad light to people. I said, that's what we do to God. But I now separate the two. I said there are people who misinterpret the scripture because of limited knowledge. They don't know better. Those are the people like the Apollo class. Apollo was eloquent, mighty in scripture, but limited in revelation. The only thing he knew was the baptism of John. But there are those who misinterpret scripture with malicious intent, because that's where they feed from. So, among these seducers, there are those who themselves are seduced. They are seduced, so they have become seducers. Are you playing music or you are listening to? I saw a video clip recently and I love it. It happened in a white garment church. I think they had extra copies of the Bible. So when they see someone who opened the Bible, the phone, in the guise of reading the Bible, they collect the phone and give him a copy of the Bible. I think we need to do that. They bought extra copy of the Bible, so whenever they see anybody with phone, they collect the phone, they give him the Bible. So what I was saying, a lot of the last days seduction will come by teaching. So there's no better place to enter the warning of Jesus. And he already said that too. Take heed how you hear. And there's no better time to imbibe the Berean culture. In Acts 17 verses 10 and 11. No better time. No better place to enter the warning of Jesus. Take it out, you hear. And no, there is no better time to imbibe the Berean culture, as you have in Acts 17, 10 and 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded. King James said these are more noble than the Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. Whether it's our papa that is talking or our usher, they receive it with readiness of mind, but they don't stop there. They go back home and cite the scriptures daily, whether those things they told them were so. This is the time for that. Otherwise, we can all become victims of this seduction going on. My second scripture I want to stress a bit on, and then I'll run through a few thoughts, is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I've just dealt with 1 Timothy 4:1. Is that okay? I've just dealt with 1 Timothy 4:1. Let me now talk a bit about 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, let me go over that again. Just get back to that verse of scripture. I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so you also be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now, take note. This word, beguile, seduce, deceive, are all but one thing. To be beguiled is to be seduced. To be seduced is to be deceived. It is an interchangeable thing. But my interest here is this. He said, the way the devil beguiled, seduced, deceived Eve, is still the same way he carries out his ministry. In the context of Nigerian politics, they said, you don't change a winning team. Is that right? In the context of the devil, you don't change a winning formula. As the serpent beguiled Eve, even so your mind could be corrupted. Same way, same strategy, same principles. So one of the ways to avoid seduction, being seduced away from the faith, from the truth, is to find out how did the devil beguile Eve. Oh. That's my focus in the next few minutes, and I think I'll be done. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Just want to list a few things there. I'm glad the pastor convener has also even stressed one of them so emphatically. Well, give me Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah. And God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves apron. As the serpent beguiled Eve, a fear. That as the serpent beguile, if any of you might be corrupted, any of you might be deceived, any of you might be seduced from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what are the stages involved in Eve's deception? Number one, isolation. Isolation. There's a policy in international politics called isolationism. It's from the world, same word, isolation. It's a concept that means have no dealings with anybody. Cut away from everyone. Now, I'm trying to figure out, please help me out, those of you who are Bible teachers. The falls in chapter 3, the birth of Abel and Cain reported in chapter 4. I want to believe that's the question. Sometimes things are reported in sequence in scripture, other times not in sequence. So it's safe to assume here that maybe it's just Adam and Eve are in the garden at this time. Is that okay? Ever wonder or ask yourself question, on that day the serpent came, where was Adam? The Bible did not tell us that the couple fought. Maybe so the wife decided to go to guest room. And there are women who do that. Women, do you fight and go to the guest room? They say yes. You just isolate yourself. And I hope we're good. Eh? I want to be sure. That's, so that it's not, I'm not watering down after hearing this kind of teaching that this is our convener has given. Praise God. Now, on a very serious note, I read about this, about a couple. The man went to work, came back late. The wife got so angry. Why will you come late? For your punishment, you're going to sleep on the couch tonight. Ironically, the man walked late to make extra money to be able to make the holiday he promised his wife possible. You want to hear the sad story? By the next morning, the man had died on the couch. Life story, not illustration. Life story. I guess that woman will wear the guilt of that for the rest of her life. Back to a story. Well, How did the woman got isolated at that time that Adam was not involved in the discussion? No, I'm just raising some posts. I don't have an answer. But let me tell you this. The moment any so-called believer begin to isolate himself from the company of others, just know that he's beginning a prodigal journey. As the serpent beguiled Eve. That's how he's still beguiling people today. As he seduced Eve. That's how he's still carrying out the seduction till today. Don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself from fellowship. Don't isolate yourself from friends. Don't isolate. It has been my experience, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'll have other things to stress this. This has been my experience as a pastor. The moment an individual begins to isolate himself, and I know there's no quarrel within five, I just know that man is up to something. As individuals, as ministry groups, then isolate yourself. I met a brother in Vancouver. I just came back. So I wanted to cut some copies of my book to be able to give a souvenirs. I gave the devotional, the compendium, the Streams of Grace or something. And then this brother said, I really enjoyed the book that you gave me. He said, as a standard practice in their ministry, they do not read another book from any other ministry. So we don't read book by any other author. But I got blessed as I was reading this. Can I please have another copy, another of the title? When the devil wants to finish a person, he will teach the gospel of isolation. God never designed us to function in isolation. Never. So isolation there. Except on occasions when you set out time for personal communion with God, isolation is a danger to your spiritual well-being. Not be times, okay, well, I just want to block myself, shut down my phone, shut down everything, shut down social media, just want to focus on the Lord, that's it. But if it's a lifestyle, nobody touches me. I touch nobody. And then he said, you know what? I've been so wounded in the past while I'm trying to relate with people. I don't want anybody. I just want to live in peace. I pray the peace will not turn to pieces. You are not wired to function alone. As the serpent beguiled Eve, lest any of you also be beguiled, seduced. The same way. That's where some relationship of quality, accountability is very important. One day I went to Pastor Barker. I said, you know, sir, if I do anything wrong, I will be the first person to come and report myself. I won't wait for anybody to say it. Me, I will come. See, I'm here. This is what I've done. Isolation is risky to a welfare, a well-being spiritually. Number two, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Generalization. That's what you touched on, Pastor. Generalization. As God said, that you should not eat anything at all in this garden. Generalization. Have you heard people generalize things? Everyone is doing it. Everyone. Not everyone. If you are doing it, tell us. Everybody is doing it. That's generalization. It's a strategy of the enemy. It's a way by which the devil wants you the devil is trying for you to create a soft landing for yourself. And it can be both ways, you know. He that we generalize, everybody is sinning, everybody is doing it. In our age, there's nobody can find a virgin in our generation anymore. Everybody is doing it. That's not true. I said, that's not true. Generalization is a strategy of the enemy. That's one of the ways by which he warmed himself into Eve. That's how he penetrated. That's how he opened her up. This thing can work not just in terms of doing wrong. Elijah, the servant of God, was guilty of generalization. What are you doing here, Elijah? I said, well, I've been jealous for the sake of my God. They have killed all your prophets, and I am the only one remaining, and they are seeking after my life. He said that the first time. God said, I know your problem. You're hungry. Angel, give him food. Let me eat first. If I start talking to this man like now, he won't hear. Give him food. And after the food, give him water. He drank. He did it another time. Then he went the strength of that to Horeb, the mount of God. 40 days and 40 nights. Right there. Elijah, what are you doing here? Oh, I've been jealous of God. They have killed all your prophets. I'm the only one remaining and they tried to kill me. After all of that, God said, Elijah, you want to hear the truth? You are guilty of overgeneralization. I see you have 7,000 others who have neither keys nor bowed to Baal. Generalize, even in your personal life, even in your own affairs. Everything in my life is just so confused. Everything is upside down. Nothing is working. generalization. And I say that often during Thanksgiving. I say, look at how we lie sometimes even before God. You're telling me nothing is working. And you're using your mouth to report it. That those for whom nothing is working are not in a position to report it. But the devil will bring you to that dimension of generalizing every issue of your life until you come by yourself for any amount. Generalization is a strategy of the enemy to gain entry into our lives. Remember, we're considering how the devil beguiled Eve, because that's how he's still beguiling people, seducing people. He hasn't changed his strategy because it keeps working. Number three, contradiction. Pastor Femi has told us that while he was trying to define the doctrine of demons, that anything that is contrary to what Jesus has said is a doctrine of demon. When the serpent said, as God said, you should not eat anything out of this generalization, is that not what he said? No. God didn't say that. As a matter of fact, he said the opposite. Like Paul will later write to Timothy, and that we should trust God who gives us all things liberally to enjoy. God gave us all this to enjoy. He only told us not to eat from the fruit of the knowledge of tree of good and evil. That is in the midst of the garden, that the day we eat it, we'll die. Then contradiction came. You will die no death. You aren't going to die at all. And in a sense, he was right. They were not going to die, but they live in misery. That is the way of life that does not know Christ. They won't die, but live in misery eternally. What I'm saying is this. The devil will seek to contradict every word that God has spoken or sent to you. Because that's his name. The name of the devil is the adversary, the opposer. You will die no death. Ye shall not surely die. Give me verse 3. Let's see. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And then he came with the emphatic contradiction. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Contradiction. Painting the opposite of what is written. Showing you the opposite of what God has said to you. Contradiction. Everything that opposes what is written. Everything that opposes what God has spoken. And that must be of the devil. That must be a strategy of the enemy to seduce. So you must be careful. Are we on number four now? Number four. Deformation. Deformation. To defame. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. How many of you know he has cast God in a bad light too? So Eve said, oh, so God has a better life that is robbing us off. What kind of God is this one? He says a God of love. Deformation of God's character. Meaning what is has just lied to you. You bought into God's lie. Do you think there are no people who have been this deceived? They just felt that God lied to them. He just felt disappointed. And they got disappointed in God. A woman told me of her husband. The man has packed from the house. Not going to any church. Not worshiping God anymore. He said God did not answer his prayer. So he has bought into seduction that God lied to him that he's the one that answered the prayer of the saints. But hear what I tell people. I said, which college, which institution judges, assesses a student on one subject only? None. In most cases, if you take your WIC, your NECO, or your GC, for instance, or any subject, they assess you on weighted average. Are you with me? So let's assume this gentleman has A in English, A in the mathematics, and B in geography, and then C in the additional maths, and then he has F in the economics. Then we say he's a failure. Is that how you assess people? And I said, so why are you assessing God like that? Maybe out of 10 departments of your life, in one area it costs score A, second A, third A, and then in one last one which you feel God has failed. In one department out of 10, you have not seen what you expect from him, and then you judge God a failure. Is that how they mark you when you were in school? Why are you marking God like that? That's why I keep saying, you don't judge God through an isolated event. It's not just one thing you use to assess God. You look at all the areas of your life, and then you discover that God has not left himself without a witness. The devil painted God black here. Don't mind him. He's deceiving you. There's something better he's not showing you. God doth know. That means God is keeping something from you. That's what the devil is saying here. But God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods. They will be as gods. Body of truth. But he didn't tell them the truth. You see, when the devil seems to be telling the truth, it's half truth. And half truth is half lie. In the book of Job, chapter 1, the Lord says, where are you coming from? I'm walking to and fro, I'm from up and down the earth. Is that not innocent enough? That's an innocent answer. I'm going up and down, walking to and fro the earth. Well, that's half truth. The balance of that is in Peter. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, he goes up and down, seeking whom to devour. But you see, when he said he's going up and down, truly he was going up and down. But he presented himself as an innocent man. The balance. So when the devil is speaking his truth, beware. So, the devil began with isolation, generalization, contradiction, defamation. To get into one person. Hey, he did his own work. Because he knew if he got into that one, he would get into all mankind. You now wonder why the devil does some extra time, extra work on some individual, because he's not just looking at that individual, he's looking at the lineage of that person, the people that are connected to him. If I secure this one, then I can go and rest over his lineage. We're almost done. Is appealing to his curiosity, to our curiosity. The employment of a sense of curiosity. This is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. All that the devil and the serpent was doing till now, the isolation, just peeing out to a corner where nobody else will see or hear what you're saying, and then the generalization, and then the contradiction, and then the defamation, all of that now stirred up the woman's curiosity. The Bible tells us, show me the next verse, the Bible tells us, and when the woman saw, and the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did it, gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Friends, curiosity took a hold of this woman. Ladies and gentlemen, our sense of curiosity is such a powerful thing that if it is not brought under the control of God, it's a matter of time. We'll run into trouble. How many young men and ladies have gone into premarital sex out of curiosity? How does this thing? How is this demon self like? Then you, when you want to buy paint, you see a naked woman. You want to buy toothpaste, is a naked woman they used to advertise. You open Facebook, is advertisement about sex. So what is it this thing serve? That was it. I wonder, why don't you try it? It's curiosity. I mean, curiosity. How is it? How is it? And then you go into the first one, and then you just say, is that all? Satan said, that's not all. You met the wrong partner. Try the next one. Are you with me? You think I'm trying to be vulgar? Curiosity. We had a guest here, I think 2 years ago, I don't want to get into details, who said, as a student in those days, undergraduate student, they will return from school, you remember now, I don't want to get into details, they will return from school, and all the guests will be making boasts of the people they slept with. She wasn't interested, but she just wanted to belong there. All this in there, I said, so what is in it again? So she now decided that by the next holiday, she will have the experience. Curiosity. Friends, But you know what? Our curiosity can be a tool in the hand of God to take us to the next level. Because it was curiosity that connected Moses to his assignment. The Bible says they got to the mountain on the backside of the desert, and then he saw the bush on fire, but it was not consumed. The Bible says Moses said, I will now turn aside. I want to probe why this bush is on fire and is not burnt. So he turned. The Bible says when God saw that he turned, his curiosity took a hold of him. God said, get your shoe off your feet. The ground you are on is the holy ground. I've heard the cry of my people, and I've come down to save them. Come therefore, I send you to Pharaoh. His curiosity connected him to God's counsel, God's purpose, God's assignment, and that led him to being a deliverer for the people of God. When you get to the book of Acts chapter 8, curiosity was part of what I believe, I'm reasoning that way, that led the Holy Spirit, the angel, to tell Philip to join the chariot. I understand the meaning of Philip is a lover of chariot, a lover of horses. So I guess Philip was just looking at that horse, that chariot being driven by the Ethiopian eunuch. I said, I never seen this kind of horse. That's my reasoning. And God said, I know you love horses. That's why. Join yourself with this chariot. How we need to ask God to sanctify our sense of curiosity so that it will always take us into our destiny and not take us far away from God. We'll close with this. With the remaining 2 minutes. Here I see independence as a contributory factor to Eve's deception. Independence. If my reading of the Bible is correct, I believe Adam was the first occupant of the garden. Is that right? So, Eve was added to it. Adam was the chief custodian of that garden. I should have thought that when that conversation was going on between the serpent and herself, Eve would say, let me cross-check this thing with Oga. Anything Oga says, I will come and tell you. That's what we'll do. I won't use the word hate. I will use fear. I fear people who exert their independence to a point of non-accountability. I fear people who can do and undo. Friends, that's not a safe place to be. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will help you multiply the example. Oh, you might be a man, the husband, and the head of the family. That doesn't stop you from being accountable to tell members of the household, I'm going to the mall. I'm going to the field. And if for any reason you are crossing from there to another place, okay, something happened, I'm changing location. Hey, that has not reduced your headship. That has only made you responsible. But if you feel you can do anything, get away with it. No reference to anyone. No cross-check with anybody. The devil has already marked a candidate that can be seduced. I fear lest as the devil, as the serpent beguile Eve, any of us should be corrupted, should be deceived, should be seduced away from the simplicity that is in the faith. So if we study how Eve was seduced and would take precautions against these things and other things that the Lord might reveal to you, you will be free from the seduction of the last days. It is possible to stand strong in the last days. It is possible to be a positive witness in the last days. The choice is yours. The Lord bless you. Yeah.